credits for solar and wind and storage. So these are all important areas. And, you know, the initial investment is quite a bit. It's, I mean, obviously you can always use more.
This is the Boy Scouts of America. You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA. ACRA.
Perfect. ACRA. Thank you.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bindlestiff Family Circus of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
The Derek Chauvin murder trial, bystanders' courage and compassion versus police cruelty. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. 9 minutes and 29 seconds. That's how long Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer now on trial for killing George Floyd, pressed his knee into Floyd's neck last Memorial Day. Floyd was handcuffed, face down on the pavement, not resisting as he gasped for air, begging for his life. Cell phone video recorded by a teenager sparked global protests demanding justice for George Floyd and an end to police brutality and systemic racism. Throughout the trial, we see George Floyd die again and again as different cell phone surveillance and police body camera footage is played for the jury. Eyewitnesses describe in grim detail a modern-day lynching of an African-American man by police in broad daylight. While the testimony offers a searing indictment of police violence, it also exposes another facet of our society, that despite the horrific circumstances, we should celebrate the courage and compassion of passersby, taking a risk by confronting armed police desperately trying to save a stranger's life.
I heard George Floyd saying, I can't breathe, please get off of me, I can't breathe.
Darnella Frazier testified. She was only 17 years old when she recorded officers Derek Chauvin, J. Alexander King, and Thomas Lane pinning Floyd down and toe-tow shielding them, all robbing him of life. Darnella continued,
he cried for his mom. He was in pain. It seemed like he knew. It seemed like he knew it was over for him. He was terrified. He was suffering. This was a cry for help. When I look at George Floyd, I look at my dad. I look at my brothers. I look at my cousins, my uncles, because they are all black. I have a black father. I have a black brother. I have black friends. And I look at that and I look at how that could have been one of them.
Throughout Darnella's video, we hear Donald Williams, an African-American mixed martial artist, as he implores the officers to get off Floyd's neck.
He's not responsive right now, bro.
Does he have a pulse?
Check his pulse, Tal, check his pulse, bro.
Trained in the use of chokeholds, Williams yelled at Chauvin to relent in his use of a blood choke. He said it was only then that Chauvin made eye contact with him in response to the term, signaling Chauvin knew what he was doing. The prosecutor asked Williams about a 911 call he placed after George Floyd's body was removed in an ambulance.
I did call the police on the police.
Right. And why did you do that?
Because I believe I witnessed a murder.
Genevieve Hansen, a white firefighter and emergency medical technician with the Minneapolis Fire Department, was off duty and out for a walk when she witnessed Chauvin on George Floyd's neck. She described her attempts to intervene.
I identified myself right away because I noticed that he needed medical attention. It didn't take me long to realize that he was had an altered level of consciousness, and in our training, that is when the first sign that somebody needs medical attention. So my attention moved from Mr. Floyd to how can I gain access to this patient and give him medical attention, or direct the officers. The officers didn't let me in to the scene. I also offered, in my memory, I offered to walk them through it, or told them, if he doesn't have a pulse, you need to start compressions, and that wasn't done either.
Prosecutor Matthew Frank then asked Hansen,
are these things that you wanted to do?
It's what I would have done for anybody. I pled and was desperate.
Hansen wept. Some of the most powerful testimony came from Charles McMillan. He was 60 at the time of the murder and among the first to stop. Police had already pulled a gun on Floyd, handcuffed him, and despite Floyd's pleading that he was claustrophobic, were manhandling him into the cage back seat of a squad car. You can hear on the videotape McMillan shouting, "You can't win," to which Floyd yells back, "I'm not trying to win." Listen carefully.
I'm not trying to win.
It was the last conversation George Floyd would ever have.
I had interaction with officer myself, and I understand once you get in the cup, you can't win.
McMillan testified, breaking down in tears.
The crowd was restrained, but only because the police restrained them.
That's Mel Reeves, community editor at the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, the state's oldest African-American-owned newspaper, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. Let's go back to Darnella Frazier in her testimony.
It's been nights. I stayed up apologizing and apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more and not physically interacting and not saving his life.
Each witness bears the trauma caused by witnessing George Floyd's murder. The deep potential for goodness and humanity is on display at the trial, in stark juxtaposition to the cruelty of Derek Chauvin and the other officers. Ultimately, the kindness of strangers won't stop police violence. Enforceable laws and a radical revisioning of policing are a start, and those won't happen on their own. Mass movements and grassroots organizing are key elements to forcing systemic change. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Though he seemed loyal in public, he worked behind the scenes to stir up, arouse, incite revolution.
dancing while we dancing in the party for show. Slipped my hoe a 44 when she got in the front door. It's looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Talk me, walk if you're down with the sick. Take a bullet with some, take this dope on the jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if you get cracked, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the ass, you'll be relieving the stress.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse, live on 90.7 FM, WGXC, broadcasting Acre and Catskill and Hudson. You were just listening to an original song by the one and only Snoop Dogg called Smoke Weed Every Day. Stay tuned for some more great music and discussion.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Edward McKinley reports in the Times Union that New York State can no longer hold people in solitary confinement for more than 15 days at a time after Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the Halt Solitary Confinement Act into law April 1st. Despite the name, the bill does not stop solitary confinement, but it does create residential rehabilitation units as an alternative to solitary, prohibits any solitary confinement for people under 21, over 55, who are pregnant or who have a disability, requires yearly training for staff who oversees solitary confinement, and requires the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision to track and release data about solitary confinement. Criminal justice reform groups, the Catholic Church, Amnesty International, legal service groups, and others have pushed Cuomo to ban solitary confinement for years. Blacks represent 58% of those in isolation, and more than 80% of those held in solitary are Black or Latino inmates. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media. State Forest Rangers rescued a hiker after the man fell ill during the 2.5-mile walk in the Rusk Mountain Wild Forest in Lexington. State Department of Environmental Conservation spokesperson Jeff Wernick said the unidentified man, 38, of Killingworth, Connecticut, was rescued after Ranger Christine Nelson and members of the Lexington Fire Department responded to the scene. The man was part of an overnight hike with a small group on the Spruceton Trail. The group hiked for 2.5 miles from the DEC parking lot on Sprucetown Road and then to the John Robb Lean-To to spend the night. The hiker had trouble making the journey and became sick when the group arrived at the Lean-To. The next morning, the man was still ill and told his companions that he could not continue the trip. Responders hiked in to reach the man, providing him with first aid and then placing him on a stretcher and taken out of the woods. The man was transferred to Ashland Ambulance and in care of the Greene County paramedics, who brought him to Columbia Memorial Hospital for further treatment. The entire rescue lasted 2 hours. The 3,900-acre Rusk Mountain Wild Forest in the Catskill Forest Preserve extends from the summit of Hunter Mountain on the east westward along the ridge of land, which includes the Rusk, Evergreen, Pine Island, and Packsaddle Mountains. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Lauren Stanforth is reporting for the Times Union. House of Precise, an Albany nonprofit organization that supports youth and the LGBTQ community, is organizing a rally April 2nd outside Rock's Bar on Central Avenue to call for the resignation of George Langdon IV, an Albany County legislator who made homophobic comments at an event last weekend. Approximately 2 hours after the House of Precise shared a post about the rally on Facebook, Langdon released a statement saying he sincerely apologizes to the LGBTQ community for his, and I quote, hurtful remarks, end quote, calling it a, and I quote, foolish, off-the-cuff comment, end quote. Langdon's anti-gay remarks were delivered at the Return to Liberty Under the Constitution seminar at Camp Pinnacle in Voorheesville on March 27th. Langdon, a first-term Republican elected county legislator who represents Coeymans, said, and I quote, everything God does is sustainable. It is sustainable. It goes on and on. It is perpetual. Sorry, when you have homosexual relationships, that's not perpetual. Give them an island and they will be gone after 40 years, end quote. London J. Precise, the founder of House of Precise and an Albany advocate for the trans community, said various speakers will appear at the rally Friday afternoon and will call on Langdon to resign. Albany Democrat officials immediately called on Langdon to resign after video of his remarks surfaced on Facebook March 31st. Langdon's profile and title as chief financial officer of the financial firm he and his wife run has now been removed from the business's website. Albany County Legislature Minority Leader Frank Mariello called Langdon's comments, and I quote, unacceptable, end quote, but stopped short of calling for his resignation. Precise said community activists want other elected officials in Coeymans to answer for Langdon's comments. The current Coeymans Town Board issued a statement that said they were, and I quote, unfamiliar with the context, end quote, of Langdon's comments or of the event he attended. Village of Ravenna Mayor Bill Mascuraca, on his official Facebook page, delivered the most blistering comments of any Albany County Republican. Mascuraca wrote, and I quote, George, no sugarcoating it, you gotta go. There's no place for that mindset in government, or in day-to-day life for that matter, end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman is reporting philanthropist George Soros has a $500 million endowment to Bard College to, and I quote, facilitate and strengthen Bard's exemplary education and social initiatives, establish the college's most substantial endowment ever, and set the stage for a $1 billion endowment drive, end quote, according to a press release. Bard College President Leon Boesting called the gift the most historic moment since the college's founding in 1860. Boesting said, and I quote, when this endowment drive is complete, Bard will have a $1 billion endowment, which will ensure its pioneering mission and its academic excellence for the future, end quote. In response to Soros' challenge grant, Bard raised an additional $250 million from supporters and intends to raise another $250 million during the next 5 years, the release said. The release also said that Soros' grant is one of the largest ever made to higher education in the United States. The endowment pledge from Soros, also with Bard's matching contributions, will endow the college's full array of student financial aid, faculty, and programs enable the college to sustain its mission and to grow its international profile and begin its endowment drive with $750 million, according to the release. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, April 2nd. A wide temperature range early this morning. 18 degrees in West Durham, 29 degrees in Ulster Park. And the mercury doesn't climb much higher than that. 38 degrees is the expected high around 4 p.m. All leftover precipitation stops by 8 a.m. and winds will be stiff at about 15 miles per hour. Bundle up if going out today. Overnight, temperatures fall to 24 degrees, then bounce back tomorrow afternoon, reaching 51 degrees with light winds. Mid-50s again on Sunday with no rain expected this weekend. Pollen levels for today and the weekend will be medium, and early next week we reach medium high levels. Today's tide schedule is low at 1:22 a.m., high at 7:21 a.m., low again at 2:10 p.m. and high again at 7:58 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 45 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:07 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:33 a.m. Looking way up, we see two mid-latitude solar streams are due to collide with our rock on Monday or Tuesday. Solar wind speed is currently 362 kilometers per second at 5.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. There have been 3 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
GXE underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXE is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Okay, clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house, we joke around, or can be serious, so come here being racist or delirious, we don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back of nobody hoodie, accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign in, we make a pact. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We follow the rules, community guidelines too, so nobody here acting a fool. We got radio, we got tracks, then we hit the art room and relax. Now we about to hit a throwback. Don't hog that remote, Bubba. You better give me the remote. Give me the remote, Bubba. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. In this house make nobody feel inferior, cause anyone can have a great interior. Yo, we special, yo, we cool, so come on down and be a part of the clubhouse crew. I'm out.
You were just listening to an original theme song, Clubhouse theme song, made in our tracks music program by DJ AJ. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. So today on the show, we have myself, Imani.
DJ Ricky.
Yeah, you got DJ Tonio.
Yay,
DJ Phoebs.
So today we're going to be talking about the legalization of the recreational use of marijuana. So I just want to have a little disclaimer and say that all views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse Parent Organization and the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So, so starting off, I just want to ask you guys, do you guys think that since marijuana is legal now, you think that the people that are in jail are going to get out?
Well, I mean, 9 times out of 10... the people, like, if you're in there, you're not just in there because of possession. Like, you probably had possession and then resisted arrest, or some of you had something other than just drugs. Like, but then again, for the people who just got arrested for that, it depends. It probably depends on how much they had.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, what about you, Anthony?
Yeah. I think
I don't really know. You know, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, at this point, man, all I can really say is I hope so. You know, I hope so.
So what do you have?
There is some language in the bill about that, actually. So the law creates an automatic expungement or resentencing for anyone with a previous marijuana conviction that would now be legal under the law. So if you have a prior record or... then for possession, basically, or use, recreational use, up to whatever amount it is that they approved, then that record should disappear, like be totally off the books. And if you're in, to Lincoln's point, you know, I think that's why they said, like, you won't necessarily be released, but you'll get a chance for a resentencing. And if that's the main reason you're in for something, you might get out. So it is possible some people might come home from that earlier or have their sentences changed. And the expungement alone is a big deal too, because, you know, it helps, you know, with that record going away. I think about people who maybe just have one thing on their record that's been haunting them for a long time. So it's something.
Yeah, I think it's very important for them to know that that it's still adults only. It's 21, the age of 21 and over. Like, you still can't, like, have more than 3 to 6 ounces. You can't use in a car. Like, I know that you can have plants. Like, you can have up to 6 plants, but, like, I don't think kids are understanding. Like, they're still not allowed to use it. They're still not allowed to buy it, sell it, anything like that. Like, it's just, like, certain things that just these kids these days are just thinking, oh, it's legal, it's okay. No, it's not. Yeah, no, nice. Not for you.
I remember my aunt, she was talking with a couple of her friends, right? And they was like, oh, yeah, it's legal now. I'm going to go up to cops and just start blowing it in their face and stuff. Mm-mm. It was like, nah, I don't think you really want to. Just because it's legal don't mean you got to do all that. But
yeah, and see, you know what? Like, and that's the spooky part of all this. You know, to me, how we respond to this, this being passed. It's like how people, you know, it's just like so willing to just recklessly do something like that. Not saying your aunt, like maybe it's just a thought, but you could bet your bottom dollar there will be people that's out there doing that, like right now, probably. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or just doing something even more stupid. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And honestly, I don't think, like, right now is, like, a good time, because I feel a good time to legalize marijuana, because it's, like...
Talk about it, yeah.
It's, like, since they're making... Because they see that everyone's doing it, right? So now they're going to make it legal so that they can catch you doing things that, like, you're not supposed to be doing with it, like, trying to sell it, like, because people are seeing that it's legal now. Oh, no, I'm just giving it to my friend. No, we see that you're selling it, and now it's easier for me to arrest you. Cause I see you doing
that, so yeah. Nice. So we got this. What you call this video
We have an interview. Well, not really an interview.
Well, no, that's...
He's a talk show host. Sorry.
But yeah, we got... she got mixed up a little bit. But we got this this video of this legalization in New York. So he wants to play this and then get back to it.
Breaking news, recreational marijuana is now legal in New York. Governor Cuomo just signed a bill passed by state lawmakers overnight. So what does this mean for anyone looking to partake? Breaking news, recreational marijuana is now legal. Breaking news, recreational. Breaking news, recreational marijuana is now legal in New York. Governor Cuomo just signed a bill passed by state lawmakers overnight. So what does this mean for anyone looking to partake? Here's Eyewitness News reporter Derek Waller.
And here's what this legislation means. New Yorkers will soon be able to possess marijuana legally in public. You can also grow it at home, but at least for now, you will still have a hard time finding a place to purchase it legally. It creates a brand new industry, raking in hundreds of millions in tax dollars and eliminating an issue many saw as an injustice toward Black and Latino New Yorkers.
We have consistently fought for economic, social, and criminal justice for all New Yorkers. Our plan for adult use marijuana legalization takes an intelligent, compassionate approach to this issue and further defines New York State as a progressive leader that we are.
But it could be a year or more before retail dispensaries pop up. As the state creates a brand new regulatory agency, cannabis will be taxed at 13%, creating a potential windfall of new revenue. But the state PTA and some police remain opposed. Cops worried about people getting high and driving a car. They say the law does not offer a clear way to detect impairment and make an arrest.
You know, so if we're only doing this for revenue, that's really a poor reason to put people's lives in danger.
Statistic after statistic, fact after fact shows that in states that have legalized recreational marijuana, children are harmed, motorists are harmed, the public is harmed.
Overnight, Attorney General Letitia James came out in favor, saying it's a racial and criminal justice imperative. For too long, people of color have been disproportionately impacted by an outdated and short-sighted marijuana prohibition. And it's past time we right this wrong. Mayor de Blasio praised the legislation late this morning.
Still want to make sure that the voices of localities are heard and respected in this process, but this is a hugely important moment for the state of New York.
And Governor Cuomo said this law establishes substantial safeguards for the public, but already some communities are pushing back. That law actually allows local governments to decide if they want those dispensaries in their communities. And right now, at least two Long Island mayors say they will not be allowing it.
All right, so, yeah, that was a nice little video. They said something about how African-Americans are, like, going to be, like, looked at, like, more often. So, Danny, you got something to say about that?
Here's my thing about that, right? Like, there's already a stigma on Black and Browns, you know, when it comes to marijuana. Uh-huh. So, like, in my opinion, like, what else are you really going to say? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, most of it is not true. Like, you know, whatever, everybody, whether you Black around, you smoke around one of you, you know, you're a gangster, you do this, you do that, you do everything negative, and it's not valid. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But again, like, what else are they going to say that they already haven't been saying to this very day?
For real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think, like, to me, in my opinion, that's really not too relevant, you know?
Yeah, I could see them, like, saying, like, a lot more. Like, that's, like, another thing that they could stigmatize African-Americans with. Like, yeah, okay, Black people smoke. Now that's another thing. Like, wow.
But that's the thing.
I feel like that statistic gets mixed up, because it's like, it's not that black people smoke more than white people, it's they get arrested more.
That's injustice.
Like, you know, so if you're hearing that stat and making it sound like black and brown people smoke more weed, that's not true at all in the data. The data just show you're much more likely to get arrested for it just because of where police are more often.
Yeah, arrested, and it's labeled as something, you know, other than what you are, you know what I mean? You know, it's just, you know, you get put into this category, like, you know, if you smoke marijuana, like, there's the, you know, the, all right, like, you memory loss and everything like that, right? But, like, don't you, won't you, like, and I'm speaking, like, now from just a general, like, you smoke marijuana, or you got to be slower than others. You can't think as fast as others. Mm-hmm. You can't do this. Now you add that to really what people think about our people. Like,
yeah. And even, like, with that logic, people say that. But, like, I know, like, in person, like, actual people that smoke marijuana every single day. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, the top athletes, mm-hmm. like, the smartest in their class. Like, it's so weird. Like, like, it's like they're the smartest. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, like, different in a way. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, these days, you will literally never know unless someone actually tells you if they smoke. Like,
That's crazy that you say that, right? Because now, well, how do you identify somebody who smokes marijuana?
You don't.
You know what I'm saying? But here it is. Like, this thing is so criminalized. It's like, this is the worst thing in the world. Like, you know what I mean? I don't.
And the thing is, that's kind of a little crazy to me, because these doctors are prescribing drugs that are actually addictive, highly addictive, and they know. And then they prescribe it, but, like, marijuana was looked down on. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. So, yeah, we're gonna get into our 6:30 news.
Is the news update up there?
No.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
it's nowhere to be found. That's why, yeah.
We roll through.
We roll through.
Like, I want to ask him if we got the time to real quick.
Yeah, we got half an hour still.
Yeah, go for
cool.
It.
So keep going, then.
So I wanted to piggyback on some of y'all had mentioned. I can't remember exactly which one of y'all said it, but it was about what do y'all think? I'm trying to remember exactly how you posed the question.
If you want, you could just ask the question. Yeah, like, we'll pick up on it.
And I'm trying to even remember it. I can't remember what it was. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
All right. So we're just gonna keep going, right? Just roll through.
Like, not that's
right.
Cool.
So
you got a question? Yeah.
Yeah. So I read on this article that the legalization of marijuana is, like, of the sales of marijuana, isn't gonna, like, begin from, like, a year from now. Like, it's not coming around anytime soon, but, like it's legal to have it, but, like the vending machines and stuff like that, that's not coming out for probably until next year.
You're talking about, like, edible vending? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, like vending machines with marijuana in it.
You know they're about to go crazy.
Yeah.
You know they're about to go crazy.
And the thing is, they have them in other states. Mm-hmm. It's not anything new, but, like, it would be new to...
They got vending machines for meat.
Yeah.
For meat? Bro. That's kind of nasty.
Vending machines for everything. You know, like,
they're about
wild.
To go crazy, bro.
Mm-hmm. Damn,
New York is the 15th state to legalize.
Yeah, see? It's normal.
Okay, I remember now. Okay, you had, I think it was you who had posed the question. You said that you think it's, like, the right time to pass the law, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So where you went with it, I was gonna kind of go somewhere else. I was gonna kind of go, like, during this pandemic, like, mm-hmm. Because I feel like during everything is so crazy, right? Like, you don't even know, like, when it's gonna end. You don't, like, things gonna open back up, et cetera, et cetera. Like. So, like, with all the stuff going on, like, all, like, the Trump stuff, everything, just take everything in this world is going on, right? Like, do you think now is the time to legalize marijuana?
Honestly, no, because I feel like it's going to cause a lot more chaos. So I feel like a better time would be, like, when things cool down. Either when things cool down or, like, before things started riling up.
Okay.
Like, because now it's going to be, I already know, it's going to be, like, a whole bunch of things. Like, it's going to be wild. It's going to be, like, why didn't they make it for, like, 18 plus? Because, like, I don't know.
Well,
mm-hmm.
He's going to say something?
Huh? No, just, yeah, agreeing.
So, now, let me ask this, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but do you think, like, this was, like, some type of, like, there's some type of ulterior motive behind this, you know?
I think the ulterior motive, which isn't surprising, mm-hmm. is money. Like, you mm-hmm. make states who legalize marijuana make so, like, they're estimating $300 million a year in new taxes, mm-hmm. which COVID just totally destroyed all the state finances, right? Because all, like, everything shut down. They're not getting sales tax. They're not getting all the, so I really think I was actually part of some of the activist groups 2 years ago that were pushing for this bill to go through. Because mm-hmm. to me, the time to legalize marijuana was 40 years ago. Like, yeah. it never should have been illegal in my perspective, but, like, because I just don't believe in criminalizing self choice in mm-hmm. what we put in our bodies. I believe in, like, education, public health, but mm-hmm. like, criminalizing drugs doesn't help is my mm-hmm. conclusion from what I've seen in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like I think the reason it happened now, because it got passed actually in a budget mm-hmm. Bill, right? And so this is the time of year that every, you know, the state gets together, they pass legislation. And I just think Cuomo was like, I need that money. Mm. I'm going to make this happen. And they had a lot of people already on board with this bill because they've been working on it for years and years and years, actually, behind mm-hmm. the scenes. And last year, it didn't pass because some of the really big advocates said that it didn't go far enough yet okay. to make sure that the money that was coming in was going to get redirected to the people who've been harmed in the past. So the good news is actually this bill passed and it had some of those things in there that were important. Yeah. So I said, like, what, $300 million a mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. $100 million a year is committed, or $50 million every year is committed to go toward what's called, like, a social equity fund that's supposed to actually, like, help undo some of the impact that criminalization has had in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So, yeah, of course money is mm-hmm. – when is money not the thing that motivates, you know?
Yeah,
I can't believe they're putting a tax on that. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, 13%.
And that's probably why they – and another reason, obviously, why they ain't been doing it too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you go all the way back to Prohibition days, like, that, you know, that's probably one of the reasons too. So, you know what? Like, Fees, when you was talking, right, so, like, I had a question. I wonder, like, has anyone heard of any businesses, for whatever they are saying, like, what they're going to do for the impoverished communities? Because, I mean, now take into account, again, when we're talking about stigmas, who do they say smoke the most?
Black people, colored people.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, again, you know, so that's my question. Like, has anybody heard?
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff in here. We'll see how far it goes. Mm-hmm. And I just want to emphasize again, too, it's like, it's the day, like, black and brown youth do not smoke more than white youth.
No,
like,
no, no. And actually, I don't want
to smoke more.
No, I'm not. That's definitely not what I'm saying.
You're just more likely to get arrested, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's the thing. Like, that makes it so that's why we have the problem we have, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like, anyway, but what they said they're going to do, to your question about, like, helping the people who've been impacted, I mean, we'll see. Like, they say that they're going to create a social and economic equity program mm-hmm. that's going to help people that have been impacted by cannabis enforcement to actually be able to participate in this new industry. So I think the idea is to say, like, hey, if you were hustling on the streets selling marijuana to, like, pay your bills in the past, mm-hmm. now it's legal to sell. Like, that's a legitimate line of business. Mm-hmm. You can still have an opportunity to be part of that business, you know, even though it was illegal in the past. So we'll see if that actually plays out, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's still going to be hard. I imagine it takes a lot. It's hard no matter what business to, like, put a whole business together. Yeah. And then the other thing that they had, they said that all the taxes that they get are going to go into go into a revenue fund, and that once they cover the cost of like just implementing the law, right, like the cost of paying people to be regulators or whatever, the money that's left over, 40% is supposed to go to education, 40% to community grants to in a reinvestment fund. So I think that maybe is the community poverty piece.
Okay.
And then another 20% to drug treatment and public education. So, you know, they're words on paper. We'll see what happens. But that is the intention, I think. So,
you know, I'm actually a little scared about, like, it's something about the government selling marijuana that just doesn't sit right with me. Like, I feel like, what if they put like chemicals in it? Like, what if they like do some stuff to it?
This is why you can grow your own.
Get your own.
People should just stick with their regular drug dealers.
Grow your own something.
The fact that you're allowed to grow your own is actually a pretty big deal. So I'm glad that's in there.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, and it'll mostly be sold by private businesses, but the government will regulate. The same way they regulate pharmacies, they regulate grocery stores, right? Like, and one of the nice things about legalization, right? So let's talk about people who, like, there are a lot of people who use weed for medicinal purposes, right? That's the other thing with this. And when you're trying to buy off the street, it's actually more dangerous, right? Because you don't know exactly who you're getting it from, if it's laced with anything weird. You don't know how strong it is necessarily. You don't even necessarily know what strain you're getting. So one of the nice things about legalization is now, as a consumer, you can say, like, I want something that's, like, not that strong, that's just going to help me with my muscle pain and not make me totally stoned out of my mind. Like, you can actually go and look at this plant and, like, see those specific things and pick out what makes sense for you. So in that way, I think, like, legalization makes it definitely safer for people who, like, you know, have, like, whatever their reasons are that that plant is good for them in their lives, right?
Well, can I go off what you said about the like using it for like like medical stuff? So that could be like you could use it as like an alternative to, let's say, painkillers. People have like addiction, you know. So you could use that as kind of an alternative, a less addictive, I guess you could say. Source.
Yeah, it's also it can also be used as an alternative for like cigarettes or like bad drugs, like drugs that they have that are legal but shouldn't be legal, that can actually harm you.
Yeah,
like
for, like a lot of stuff. So we have this interview, sort of like interview, also comedy, you know, sort of thing. So we're gonna play that real quick. And then,
Breakfast Club, shout out.
Yeah, Breakfast Club. And then,
Donkey of the Day.
We'll be back. So, yeah.
Breakfast Club, bitches. Okay, there needs to be an investigation. The hardest drug I ever smoked in my life was cocaine mixed. Fool's joke. I'm not sure, but Donkey of the Day for Thursday, April 1st goes to, what is it, Newsmax anchor Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is a man who doesn't like weed, marijuana, cannabis, pot, grass, ganja, whatever you want to call it. He's not with it. This is Greg Kelly and Dr. Kevin Sabet on his Newsweek show talking about reefers. Plural. Listen.
New York State legalizes the recreational use of marijuana. And we join more than a dozen other states now where you can light up for no other reason at all than to get high. Personally, I think this is a very, very bad move. Doctor, first to you. You're not cool with this, right? This is a bad thing. I know all kind of gateway drug, all that stuff, not to mention all the mental health issues.
Yeah, it's a really bad idea. You know, today's marijuana is not your Woodstock weed of the past.
Let me tell you something. I am not a weed head by any means, okay? Your Uncle Charlotte, when I was a young lad growing up in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, dropping the clues bombs from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, I used to smoke a lot of weed. In fact, myself and some of my partners, when we was in our teens, we called ourselves the infamous Buddha heads. We all took weed-like names. There was Bobby Buddha, Ichabod-ism, Mikey Marijuana, to name a few. Me, well, I was Charlie Chronic. What I didn't realize back then was I was, shut up, don't judge me, I was young. What I didn't realize back then was I was prone to having severe anxiety attacks. The weed was not helping that. I just didn't know what it was back then. And I just thought it was the life I was living, along with the weed. Extreme paranoia just came with the territory. And when I saw Chris Tucker, you know, playing Smokey on Friday, hiding out in the chicken coop after smoking some weed, I said, oh, so it's just perfectly normal for me to be paranoid, scared, and go hide out in the woods just because. But then I went to jail for assault and battery with intent to kill. If you want to know why, it's in my New York Times bestseller, Black Privilege. I've told y'all this story a million times, no need to rehash. But while on probation, it just became too much of a hassle to smoke and stay clean. So I was doing everything from Golden Seal to Cat's Claw. I had partners telling me they would give me their piss, but it was just all too much. So I just quit smoking. Okay, weed or prison, easy choice for me. But then, every now and again, I would attempt to do it, and that's when I realized smoking weed is just really not for me because it makes my anxiety go through the roof. Back then, I had no idea, but now I fully understand. And to this day, if I smoke weed, I have panic attacks. Now, edibles, that's another story. I can do edibles, okay? I don't know what it is about the edibles versus the smoking, but the right dosage of edibles, my God, 10 milligrams, 20, no more than 30 of a nice indica strain, it's heaven. Okay, I will lay around the house on the weekend when the kids go to sleep, high off plant-based medicine, no anxiety, no stress, eating everything, and the sleep. Man, the sleep is fantastic. So, yes, I'm saying all that to say I am a fan of plant-based medicine. On a bigger note, I am happy that all these states are legalizing weed, especially the two states I spend the most time in, which is New Jersey and New York. Not only do I want weed legalized, I want every brother and sister who is in jail for a nonviolent weed offense to come home. All the folks who, because of all these tough-on-crime drug bills that Joe Biden wrote, by the way, I want them home if you are in a state where weed is legal. But, you know, this is America. We all don't think the same, so we have the Gray Kellys of the world. And the reason Gray Kelly is getting donkier today is not because he's against weed being legalized recreationally. I don't care about that. It's his opinion. He's getting donkey because of this tweet he posted. Listen, this is Gray Kelly. If you don't believe me, his Twitter handle is Gray Kelly USA. Could be an April Fool's tweet because it's that stupid. But he tweeted, and I quote, "Smoking weed, a.k.a. grass, is not a good idea. I've tried it back in the day, and it was worse," in capital letters, "than anything that happened to Hunter Biden." Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I do know Hunter Biden just revealed he's battled addiction his whole life, alcohol and drugs. In fact, Hunter Biden said he was smoking crack every 15 minutes. It's in his new memoir, Beautiful Thing. So I guess he's saying weed was worse than anything that happened to Hunter Biden. That's false. But then he goes on to say, "I toked up with some buddies in Kentucky and woke up in Nairobi, Kenya, with no idea what happened." Oh, did I leave out this part? He said he woke up 4 days later in Nairobi, Kenya, with no idea what happened. So you smoke weed with your buddies in Kentucky and woke up 4 days later in Nairobi, Kenya. And then you put, "Don't do drugs." Gray Kelly, you smoked weed in Kentucky and woke up 4 days later in Nairobi, Kenya. Now, I don't know what part of Kentucky you are in, but I know Louisville, Kentucky is 8,013 miles away from Nairobi, Kenya. I Googled it. Okay, the flight time is 16 hours and 32 minutes, but forget how long it takes to get there. You said you didn't wake up until 4 days later. That, sir, is what the kids call cap, all right? Greg Kelly, I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, nor am I the strongest Avenger, but I have a feeling that to you, cap, Captain America is the strongest Avenger. Gray Kelly, what's your sign? You seem like a cap, Ruckhorn. Okay, I saw a tweet you posted about being mad McDonald's didn't have the big fish anymore, which I thought was strange because you seem more like a cap, 10 D's kind of guy. Gray Kelly, if you did a drug that caused you not to wake up for 4 days and you ended up in Nairobi, Kenya, by way of Kentucky, you need to file a police report, okay? There needs to be an investigation. The hardest drug I ever smoked in my life was cocaine mixed with weed, and that's because I was smoking with some dudes I didn't know from Florida. That goddamn Florida, all right? As a matter of fact, that devil damn Florida, all right? Hate to tell y'all this about the cocaine and weed, but it was an amazing high. I would never do it again, have never done it again, okay? But it was an amazing high. I'm saying all that to say I didn't pass out for 4 days, nor did I wake up in Kenya, okay? I don't care who you ask, Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa, Willie Nelson, Cheech and Chong, they will all tell you, Gray Kelly, that you a lie. Okay, look, man, if you don't want weed to be legalized, fine. If you don't think people should smoke weed, fine. But don't make up stories that ironically make you sound high as hell. not just make you sound high, but make you sound like you ingested some drug way stronger than weed. You need to check your boys, because if you passed out after smoking some type of drug with them, woke up 4 days later in Kenya, that means they was dragging you around like Bernie's corpse. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a game of stinky finger plate, but you don't have to worry about that, because it didn't happen. Stop the blood clot capping. Please give Craig Kelly the biggest hee-haw. Somebody just gotta lie because they don't want you to do something. Yeah, I make up that kind of lie just because you don't want us to do something. That's never happened to nobody.
I ain't gonna front. That didn't make me not want to do it. That gonna make me, like, I smoke some weed and I end up in Kenya?
4 days later?
Huh? 4 days later?
I didn't even get on a plane? Did I pay for this trip? So who booked the trip for me?
I don't know.
So nobody booked the trip? Who took my passport? Did somebody pack clothes for me? Who did all? I just magically ended up in Nairobi? Bring me that strain.
I need that strain.
I need that strain right now.
I've been trying to go back to Africa, South Africa, Kenya. It don't matter. Nigeria. Take me back home.
That back to Africa strain. Whoa. Yes. Whoa. I'll Who got the back right to now. Africa strain out there? I need it.
I need the Johannesburg. I need to go back to Johannesburg. What? Give that to me now. Mm-hmm. Jeez. All
Just
right.
don't name it the Mandela. That would be disrespectful.
Yeah, you can't. You cannot
don't
name
do
it.
That.
No.
Don't do that.
No, you can't do that. Mm-mm. All right.
Well, we know how you niggas think.
Thank you for that donkey of the day. Mm-hmm.
Donkey of the Day is brought to you by the Law Office of Michael S. Lamonsoff. Don't be a donkey. Dial #250 on your cell and say the bull if you've been hurt in a construction accident. That's #250 from your cell and say the bull.
Yeah, that was an episode of The Breakfast Club. And, yeah, I thought this guy was actually hilarious.
Yeah, my bad. Our fault for the profanity, you know. We tried to, you know, skip over it and stuff. It just didn't work out. So we apologize for that, for the inconvenience.
But, yeah, this guy stated a lot of facts. He was like...
He was talking about... he said, who? Charlamagne the God. That's what his name is. But he was talking about how that made up story about
Greg Kelly.
Yeah.
About how he smoked one day and then woke up 4 days later in a different country.
Yeah,
or something.
That was kind of crazy. But he had good points talking about how what'd you go at the end? I think I forgot. Yeah. I know he said something good too.
I mean, I appreciate how Charlamagne at least can be like, look, weed's not really for me, right? Like, you know, acknowledge the fact that for, like, a lot of people it creates anxiety. It's, like, it's not a medicine, right? That's the thing about any plant, anything you put in your body, medicine for one person and toxic to somebody else, right? So, like, but he's like, that's not a reason for me to keep other people from doing what they need to do. And don't make up stupid stories to try to tell people not to do it. Like,
I hate when people do that. Like, first of all, don't lie to me. Second of all, if you do lie to me, don't try to make me look stupid by lying to me and saying something that's not believable to the slightest bit. Like,
facts.
That's ridiculous.
Went, like, completely left. Like, that was he just went, like, he just left and what? That's what I was saying earlier. Is like, oh, that's what we was talking about earlier, right? Like, I mean, there's nothing else really. There's like no other labels you can put on us about smoking marijuana, right? Mm-hmm. So now this is what it's come to, like making up extreme stories like that. Like, I woke up 4 days later and whatever he said,
like good night. Who?
Come on, bro.
Like, I understand if you slept like for the rest of the day, if you slept and not passed out. But like,
he sounded like he was dead for 4 days and just suddenly woke
exactly.
up.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Like, no one blacks out from smoking weed.
Sounds crazy. But yeah, he had a bunch of good points. What you guys is, let's see. Do you feel like marijuana is like should be allowed to be smoked? Like, what's your opinions on it, basically?
100%. I feel like, and the thing is, I have a thing about like age and matureness, like, I feel like those two don't go together. Because it's like you can't be a legal age. Because, like, people be like, oh, I'm a man because I'm 18. Like, actually, no.
Not the man. Age.
Like, I feel like it's 100% about your mentality, your maturity level. And, like, it shouldn't have anything to do with your age. Like, but again, I couldn't see a way for them to like to see, to look at every single person and be like, oh, you're grown enough to smoke or something. But yeah, I feel like people should be able to smoke whenever they want because it's their body.
Well, like you said, it depends on the maturity level.
I think for me it's also about being aware of, like, you know, what you can tolerate or like what you know, because even though like people say some people say you can't be addicted to, you know, weed or whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can spend
if you enjoy that feeling,
like, you may not be out there like robbing TV.